My friends, I'm going to be preaching on revival, and I need you to understand that this is our desperate need. My wife watches all the news programs. I can't take it. It's too discouraging. It's too horrible. But she was reporting to me the other day, before she left, that they are overtly coming out about Christianity being the actual enemy. They're actually saying we need to re-educate these people. I remember hearing of this in the Ukraine, a communist country, by the way, and how that there was a Christian lady who was an A student, but she could only make C's because they knew she was a Christian, and Christians had inferior knowledge. So they just gave her the C automatically. Without revival, you and I will suffer persecution, loss, all the things that has happened to Christians through the ages. This will not be a safe place for us. And so when I say desperate, I mean that in every sense that I can squeeze out of it. Let us pray then silently before the message that God will actually motivate our hearts, impress upon us today the message. Let's pray. Thank you, Angie. All right, dealing with our desperate need for revival, Isaiah 59, the second part of verse 19 says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him or put him to flight." I have been, my series has been called Up to Date, and I've been trying to check the dates and see what was this the national day of, and this was just full of irrelevant stuff. I think it might be mushrooms or something. I can't remember. But so I started checking the date in history. And of course, as Bud was mentioning in the lobby earlier, 1929 on this day was Black Tuesday. Walmart stock market crashed, triggering the Great Depression, lasted many years. The depression here in the United States echoed around the world, and things were dark for a long time, difficult. During that time, people clearly found their need of the Lord. And let us not suppose that God is beyond doing this again. We are set with this, the banks doing what they're doing, the stock market rocketing back and forth as it is. God is quite able to bring this about again. There was another tragic thing that happened on this day in 1929. The great Baptist preacher John Stratton died on this date. He was born in Evansville, Indiana. He became the pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church of New York City. Even then, it was known as a liberal stronghold, a liberal theology, and he took a strong stand against it. He became a sensational speaker. He was speaking out against people that nobody spoke out against. And he was known for his strong stand on the infallibility of the Christian scriptures and his strong stand against liberal theologians and of the moral decadence of society. And with his death past an age that, again, the flood seemed to sweep in a little more. We go back in time. On this date in 1863, the Red Cross was founded, sometimes called the American Red Cross, but it also has another name, that the international name. But I want to take you back even further, to 1836. in 1836, the Sandy Creek Baptist Association in North Carolina issued a call for the need for churches to pray for revival. The association there, was a Baptist association, Baptist churches. They formed a committee to study this out, to address the need for revival. And on this day, the committee listed the following conditions that demanded prayer for revival. Now, this is 1836, and here's what they found. Their words, pride arising from worldly prosperity. Sound familiar? A conformity, second one, conformity to the world, its fashions and customs. Christians looking, acting, talking like the world. The neglect of secret prayer, self-examination, and personal holiness. The neglect of family prayer and training up of our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now they emphasize this one, an omission of keeping the Sabbath day holy. In those days, they had changed the meaning of the Sabbath day from Saturday, the Jewish meaning, to Sunday. Now, granting that that is not the best way to look at it, the word Sabbath actually means the day of rest. And therefore, the Sunday ought to be a Sabbath for us. The time when we do not focus upon the things of the world, nor its entertainments, but rather on serving the Lord. So he says, the omission of keeping the Sabbath day holy and suffering our children to violate the holy command. We think that the making, using, and vending of ardent spirits, that's hard liquor, is a bane to the life of religion, and they said religion when they meant Christianity, both in the soul of the individual and the community, and the neglect of the Bible and attending on the administration of the Word of Life. As I was saying earlier, how popular is going to church today? Being voted probably not very high. They found it then, and we find it today. The relentless flood of the enemy. I don't want to take the time, I've done this in the past, but take the time to go over. I found that there were at least seven terrible doctrines, terrible influences on the United States that are like the various streams flooding our entire community with a flood of the enemy. Isaiah 59:19b, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. You think about a flood, and you know, you try to sandbag your place and so on, and it seeps through, it gets in, it ruins so many things. A fire will destroy, but the flood just ruins it. You've been in a flood? We had a flood at the old building. One of the reasons we decided to put it up for sale. And my wife and I had gone on a trip. We got the news as we were driving back that they found the refrigerator floating down the hallway. And my brother-in-law was here guarding my library, pulling it up, getting it out, pulling the books out of the water. I still have some of those books, and some of those pages are still stuck together. But it was a thing that ruined so much and took so much time to. And there was nothing we did wrong about it. It was about once in 100 years you have that kind of flood, and there was no way to stop it. Comes in like a flood. Hard to put this away. In this context, in Isaiah 59, Jehovah is answering the nation's words of repentance. Please forgive us, help us. Don't send us off into captivity. God knows that no man can deliver the righteous. He looks around. He says, there's nobody here. See? God puts on his own armor, and he brings justice. And he issues, in this passage, a worldwide judgment against his adversaries and rescues the righteous. So he will bring them back. Verse 19b, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, something else happens. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The banner. The Spirit lifting up a standard. David Martin Lloyd-Jones, he lived 1899 to 1981, ripe old age. He was for almost 30 years minister of the Westminster Chapel in London, which was a significant post. He was a deep student of the history of revival. Here's what he says. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it is the Lord who will raise, and does raise, the banner. The fact of revival proves, I say, so clearly, again and again, the impotence, the lack of power and smallness of man left to himself. And so my point of bringing up the 1836 cry for revival, as then, so now, we need God. We need God in our lives. We need God in our church. We need God in our community. We who claim to be Christians, we don't want to be floating on this flood. We need to thirst for God. We need to become desperate for the knowledge of the living God in our lives. We're content. The church has almost always been content just keep the world about arm's length. But the problem with that is that as the world advances, you know, we just stay an arm's length away. Now that arm's length, we have, you know, preachers preaching for homosexuality. We have preachers preaching for women doing the preaching. You know, we have things that are clearly contrary to the Bible. And the churches are moving right along, see? Maybe not as bad as the world is, but just an arm's length away. The problem is, we don't just want to be separate for separate sake. We want to be like God. The problem is that we're not actually wanting it very much. This is not consuming us. What we need, let us sense a burning desire to see God arise in power. When God came down for judgment, he said it was because he heard the cry of his people. He didn't say, I heard them murmur, thank you for this food. You see. These were people who were crying out for godliness in a pagan time. We need to see him act and make himself known. And I think plagues and diseases ravaging all around the world now, things we haven't heard of in hundreds of years are coming back. Leprosy is making a resurgence. It's just all over. And we need his championship to rise and scatter his enemies. Not just our enemies, you see. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about Republican, Democrats, and independents now. No. But you know what awakens me to this? Is that I don't see people seriously offended. We Christians need to be seriously offended by a world that spits in the face of our God. They don't understand. If you start talking bad about my mother, I'm going to slap your face. But they talk about my Jesus Christ that died for me. And what do I think about that? We need a grief so deep that it drives us to beg God to stop the flood, to stop the cruel darkness. What's going on in the darkness is cruelty to man and body and mind and everything. The overwhelming vastness of the darkness around us should be driving us to pray for the salvation of sinners and the revival of His church. A church that is making a difference, actually winning people to Christ, talking to them, praying over them. Habakkuk, one of the prophets dealing with the rebellion of Israel, in chapter 3, verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid, judgment. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. And of course, wrath comes with the judgment on sin. But in wrath, remember mercy. Not our righteousness, but His mercy. William Mackey, inspired by this verse, wrote Revive Us Again back in 1867. They saw the need then. We see it even more now. Here's the song. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who hath brought us and sought us and guided our ways. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled, brought back to fire, with fire from above. And then the refrain was, Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Bring us back to life. Habakkuk 3:2. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. F.B. Meyer, a great preacher, said, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. When we are oppressed with the state of the church and the world, as Habakkuk was, there is no resource but to turn to God. It is no use to say to our brother, What shall we do? What is it possible for us as humans to do? Better at once get into the presence of the Almighty. All conferences with flesh and blood are wasted breath unless there's been a previous one with God. He says, we do not need a new gospel, but a revival, a revivifying of the old gospel. If any preach another gospel than that which the apostles preached, let him be accursed. He is selling bran for wheat and filling cartridges with sand instead of buckshot. Gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ proclaimed from lips which have received a new baptism of heavenly power. We want nothing but. What an argument. Remember mercy. We cannot appeal to merit, but can lay great stress on mercy. Lord, have mercy on thy church. Revive her. And ere the age close, may she arise for one great work of soul salvation. If you can grasp the image of a church, it need not be many, but hearts burdened, hearts desperate for God to work. Let me encourage you. Psalm 85, 4 to 7. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease? Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Instead, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Psalm 138, 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, the flood that came in, thou wilt revive me. This is where we have to start, isn't it? Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. And then Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. This is where God lives, not in time, but outside of time, in eternity, whose name is holy. And here's what God says: I dwell in the high and lofty place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive. Who does he revive? The spirit of the humble. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You see, our goal is not to get all high and mighty on the world around us, but to get all contrite and lowly of heart before our God. So do you deeply desire to see the church as it was in the book of Acts? It's what they were all about. Let us seek the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. May we set aside all the fantastic hoopla stuff, bringing in the famous this and the spectacular that, calling for people to come and buy their tickets, work at the offering plate. Let us confess and forsake our sins. Let us pray for revival. A mighty work of God. And to that end, acknowledge all our efforts are nothing unless God empowers them. A great preacher, great writer, Ian Murray, wrote, he defined revival. Revival is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit brought about by the intercession of Christ, resulting in a new degree of life in the churches and a widespread movement of grace among the unconverted. It is an extraordinary communication of Spirit's operations and enlargement of His manifest power, of His evident power. Would you like to see that? Would you like to see multitudes moved? Not politically, but spiritually. I know there's an attitude, it's time to hunker down, time to find how to live off-grid, get our multitude of rations together, go hide in some cave barrier. But instead of steeling ourselves against coming persecution, let us cry out to God for revival that will first change us and then change our community. And who can ask? Who will God answer? Let us cleanse our hearts that God will hear us. The whole verse of Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. A time when the whole world will bow before Christ as King. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. We see this so vividly when Christ returns conquering evil, when the entire world has been given over to the devil. Here's what I want you to do, your assignment for the week, if you will. Think about the enemy coming in like a flood. Think of the darkness, the hiding of the light of truth that that brings. Meditate, please, on those suffering in the flood of the enemy. People that are striking out, crying out, lost in the darkness of deception. Can you get to the place where that totally grieves you? Grieve over the dominant sinful thinking in our world. Don't just be angry. Grieve. Grieve over it. And then plead. Plead with his Spirit to raise up his standard. Let's pray. Father, we are at the anniversary of a cry for revival from 1836. A revival that people have cried for in the 1800s when the song Revive Us Again was written. That through the ages you have given revivals here and there. And Father, the revivals have come at a time when things looked hopeless. It began with people who sensed the hopelessness and realized it's not that they should step up and do more and have greater programs, but people who cast all of their hope upon Thee, who ask that You use them in some significant way to take a stand for Christ. Those that would speak out for the truth of the gospel, that would hand out the tract, that would speak to someone in private and pray for their soul. With heads bowed, eyes closed, let me just ask you before God, are we thinking that it's bad but not too bad? Are we thinking that there's nothing we can do? Well, let's take that thought and give it completely over to God. Let us beg Him to use us in some way. Let us grieve over the condition of the lost that's twisting and maiming the lives of people all over this country. Let us despise the sin that is misusing so many people, stealing children. And then let me ask you this. Would you say today, God, use me in any way possible, no matter what it costs me, to start the fire of a revival in this country? Consider that. And if that's your prayer, would you slip your hand up with me and say, that's what I want. That's what I want. Yes. Amen. 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 Father, we are lost. We are in a land of darkness. There are those who claim that this is America the Great and Christian America. And we are so far from that, Father, that we are a motivating movement going around the world to spread sin and evil and wickedness. We are that which honors it in high places. We ask, Father, that You might help us then not to give up in despair, not to have the fear but the faith, and to put all of this, our trust in Thee, to change the world in which we live, our little world. to be the one that takes that stand and cries against sin and wickedness. And we commit this into your hands, knowing that the generations to come will find the results of what we do even today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.